Let me begin my sermon with a story of Japanese doctor Masaru Emoto, E-M-O-T-O. One day he experimented with rice. What he did is this, that he set up 3 empty drinking glasses, about 8 ounces, on a table, and each glass, he added a spoonful of rice, and he submerged them with water, about half cup full. So every day for the next month, 30 days, he spoke to the first glass, "Thank you." Arigato gozaimasu, if you know Japanese. To the second glass, he said, "You are an idiot." And to the third, he did not say anything. He just ignored it. After a month, the rice that was thanked every day 30 times began to ferment into sweet wine, giving off strong, pleasant aroma. The rice in the second glass turned black, and the rice that was ignored began to rot. Now, you can check yourself on YouTube. Type, you know, the Emoto, E-M-O-T-O, and rice experiment, and you'll see that yourself. Basically, his experiment proves that the word we speak has power and influence on the object to which it is spoken, whether it's a person or a thing. Now, that's what we are going to think about this morning, the words that we speak and the power thereof, and 3 lessons and 3 action points. Lesson number 1, words we speak indeed have power to accomplish what we please. Did you know that words we speak make things happen? Now listen to the prophet Isaiah about God's word and its power in Isaiah chapter 55. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God indeed sends out his word to accomplish what he pleases. For instance, when he created the universe, heavens and the earth, he did so with his spoken words. When there was darkness, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What about Jesus himself? He too used his spoken words to command the nature during the storm. He was in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and the boat was in the middle of the storm, was about to capsize, and the disciples were, you know, scared to death, and they woke Jesus up. "Master, please do something about this." And Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind and the sea to be still. And it happened that way. The same Jesus also healed the sick with his spoken words. One day, Jesus was walking and there was a woman with a hemorrhage problem, bleeding problem for 12 years that wouldn't stop. And she didn't want to get any attention from anybody, so she just approached Jesus from behind and touched the hem of Jesus' garment without telling anybody. And Jesus knew that the power went out from him to this lady, and he turned around, "Who touched me?" And the lady said, "Lord, I did." And to her, Jesus says, "Be healed." And she was immediately healed. The power of the spoken word. It's not just God who uses the word to make things happen. We too, created in his image and likeness, use the words to communicate, to change, to heal, and to hurt, to create, or even destroy. Our words also accomplish what we please and make things happen. If you have a dog in your home, to your dog, sit, and they do. Wait, and they do. They obey your word spoken, right? If I ask you, just close your eyes a couple of seconds, I'm sure most of you will do, out of respect and out of love for me. If you ask me, Pastor Choi, I have a great story to tell you. Come down here and I will do it to you. Once again, your word spoken to me has influence and, you know, make things happen. Because our words prosper, as the Bible says, in the things for which we send them. That's lesson number one. Words we speak have power to accomplish what we please. Lesson number two, words we speak have consequences. Sometimes our words have power on the listener with a lifelong consequence, either positive or negative. Positive one first. There were parents, they had a son born to the family. And they noticed that as soon as this child was born, they had, he had a very distinct, you know, the red birthmark on his forehead. Couldn't hide it. But from the day when the boy began to understand what parents saying, both parents instilled in the boy's heart, you know what, son, look at the mirror, you have the birthmark on your forehead, red birthmark. You know why you have that one? Because God loves you so much that he put a special marking on you. And he was told by the parents every single day. By the time he grew up and went into kindergarten, he looked at his own classmates and none of them had that birthmark on their forehead. And the boy surely felt sorry for the other children. Really. And the boy grew up and he appreciated what his parents did for him. Unfortunately, there are some parents and fathers, particularly, I don't know, it's a true story, a father used to call his son, "You're worthless, no good bum." And story goes on, the child grew up into adulthood, he still suffered from that terrible sentence, "You are no good bum." Lifelong consequence. You know, the Bible says that we are the children of God. There are one thing that we should never get into. That is the habit of using our mouth, grumbling against God, because there will be unpleasant eternal consequences. Now, a lot of you getting into the Bible and read through, some of you read through and still going into that, but if you read the book of Numbers, in the Old Testament, especially two chapters, chapter 13 and 14, and you will see three parties, God, of course, and the people of Israel, and Moses and Aaron, the leaders, in which you see the Israelites repeatedly grumble against God. What's the meaning of grumble? It means that the strongest degree of disobedience and unbelief in God. So they constantly grumble against God. And the Bible calls it grumbling is a sin, saying that we would never make it into the promised land. And the end result, they got what they had wished for or spoken for. And here's the background. After they got out of the Egypt, God commanded the people of Israel to enter the promised land. But before they did that, God commanded Moses to send out 12 men. One from each tribe, there are 12 tribes there, to spy out the land of Canaan. So they did so, sent 12 spies to, you know, just to look at the land for 40 days. After that, they came back and gave a report to the congregation of Israel. 10 out of 12 spies reported such as this. "The land is harsh, folks, and the inhabitants are giants, Nephilims. Compared to them," they continued, we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. So were we in their sight." Speaking of self-esteem, we not only look like grasshoppers to us, but to them, I'm sure it was. That was their report. Then all the congregation, after hearing this report, lifted up their voices and cried, the Bible says. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the leaders, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Well, the Lord who created the ears heard it all. He had enough, so he responded, saying to Moses, "How long will this people spurn me, and how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you.'" The key words, "just as I heard you saying, it will be done so." So none of them made into the promised land, except two. The two of the 12 spies were different. They were Caleb and Joshua. They never doubted God's power or grumbled against God. And for instance, unlike the 10 spies, Caleb reassured the people of Israel saying, "Let's go up at once, right now, and possess it, for we are well able to conquer it." To Caleb, the Lord did just as Caleb had spoken in the Lord's hearing. "You said that you can do it, and I'll make sure that it'll happen to you." As Caleb did, believed, and spoke, he entered the promised land. The lesson number two is, words we say have consequences. And lesson number three, for every word we speak, there's accountability. Have you noticed that power comes with responsibility? Power exercised with no responsibility or poor responsibility hurts the people, and power used well with accountability benefits the people. For each word we speak, not only there is a consequence, but also God will hold us accountable. Now listen to God's word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed, paid back, for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." I think this verse also applies to the words that we speak. The Bible also declares in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, "Every mouth shall be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God." Again, the word is accountability here. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court," in this case, Sanhedrin. "And whoever says, 'You fool,'" moron in English word today, "shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." I don't think Jesus was joking here. If you call anyone, "You moron, you fool," because Jesus said, accountability here. So, with that in mind, three action points. Action number one, tame your tongue. Be slow to speak. James the Apostle says, "You're perfect if you don't make mistakes with the words you speak." He continues, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse man, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." What he's telling us is this: choose the words very carefully, what we say. Treat your words like a double-edged sword, understanding that they can help or hurt the listener. Tame your tongue. Here's what you can practice. Starting today, say to God the words of thanks all the time. Make a habit of thanking Him every day as often as you can. Verbally, I'm talking about, you know, I do, you know that you're thinking, but verbally. If you need some place to start, thank God for your life. I do every morning. Lord, thank you for another day. Thank God for your health. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your job. And even, this is for a little more mature Christians, thank God even things don't go right. This is what I typically say. Lord, I'm not pleased with what's happening or not happening in my life now. But I trust in you and I thank you for that. Say words to build up, not tearing down. Such as when you talk to someone, you look great today. You made my day, or you have a beautiful smile and so forth. Do not say, why can't you be like so and so? Especially if you have children. It's a terrible thing to do. You look ugly. Oh no, you never say that. But some people say it, really. That's lesson, action point number one, tame your tongue. Number two, store up what is good and godly in your heart. Why? Because whatever you store up in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. You know, once in a while, I go to the hospital and pray for the patient, and they go through a major surgery, and this is what they say. Again, I'm not a medical field. When you come out of the sleep, anesthesia, sometimes people say the words, really, that's what they say. Yeah, they do, right? Be careful what comes out of your mouth that day. This is what Jesus says. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Wow. You cannot say good things, good words, when you have nothing good stored up in your heart, and vice versa. You bring out what you have in you. If you are serious about building up others with your words, you must begin storing up good and godly thoughts in you first. Paul the Apostle, therefore, he wrote in Philippians 4, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. When he says think about, it means that keep on dwelling on thinking about good and godly things, folks. You can read the books. That's why the Bible is an excellent place to go. You store up God's word in your heart so that it comes naturally out of your mouth. That's action number two, store up what is good and godly in your heart. Action point number three, dwell on and soak in God's promises and His word. Keep dwelling on God's words of assurance. Stand on His promises. You know, every morning I declare, proclaim God's word to myself and to the plants. Remember what I said? My plants hear God's word proclaimed every morning. One of them I just declare that, for I know the thoughts that God says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. My plans, hear them all. And I dwell on it too. Plans that God have for me is not evil, but, you know, for peace and prosperity. For that, I am thankful. So stand on His promises and let His word sustain you, guide you, and nurture you, and carry you on for the rest of your life. Here are a couple of examples. Some of you wonder, is the Lord with me? Never doubt that He is with you, because He says, He promises in Matthew 28, I am always with you to the end of the age. That's God's promise for you. Dwell on it. And here's the second promise. And if you ever struggle with self-esteem, oh, you know, I'm not really good, I'm not really pretty, I'm not really whatever, I don't have anything, but remember this, 139, verse 14. I'll give thanks to you, psalmist says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Looking into your mirror to yourself and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful is your work, Lord. That's me. Okay? You need to constantly dwell on God's promise and let it, God's word work on you. Remember, it has influence. As for closing, I will say this. Your words and mine have power, consequences, also accountability. Our words can heal or hurt, and choose carefully, therefore, what you say. Paul the Apostle wrote as this, do not use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to, and what will give them a blessing. Good story to end my sermon. True story, there was an elementary school teacher, and one of the students in her class, you know, was a girl, and the teacher told her that, you know what, if you study hard, you can get into the best college in the country, Princeton University. It happened in New Jersey, after all. So the girl took it to her heart. Oh, if I work hard, my teacher said I can get into the Princeton University. Sure enough, a few years later, she got into the Princeton University. I heard this story from the girl. You see, your word makes a difference in a person's life. Let's remember that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we would never fully understand how lavishly you poured out on us your love. It's all in the scripture. How much you love us. How high expectations you have on each and every one of us. We forgot all about this, and we pour all these destructive and negative and discouraging words and news from every direction into our hearts every single day. It's about time that we change that. Help us to store up your word, good and godly thoughts, admirable thoughts in our hearts so that it may come out to everybody around us. Yes, Lord, help us to change us first with your word and spread the change in our lives and into other people's lives as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.